So we're reading from James 1, verses 22 to 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in use in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Let me pray as we come to look at these verses now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the chance to gather, the chance to hear from you. And we do pray that as we look at these verses, you would help us to respond in the right way, that you would help our hearts to be soft to what you would have to say to us, that the words that we hear might be your words, taken by your Spirit and applied to our lives. So we do pray that you would be in this meeting with us now, as we look at your word, in your name. Amen. Well, last Sunday morning we divided this passage in James into two parts. So we looked at verses 19 to 21 last week. And we saw two things from those small verses, and yet significant ones. We saw how human anger is not a produce of the word in us, but rather the word should produce relationships of patient understanding. As we move on to these verses now, verses 22 to 27, James continues that theme of the words, or the difference the word should make in our lives. Remember the word from last week meaning a few different things. It's the gospel message of the Lord Jesus, the word that we're born into. If you look at verse 18 of James chapter 1, it is the word that we're born into as we trust in him. But in verse 21, it's also the word that's planted in us. So that new relationship we have with God as our Father. As we move on to these verses, we discover the word is also something we continue to listen to or look at. That's how James opens this little section, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. And in verse 25, a little later on, we're encouraged to look intently into it. So James is talking about something we have from God that we can listen to and read, receive instruction from. Scripture. Now for James's readers in the first century, this word would have been what we know as the Old Testament scriptures, particularly the Torah, the first five books of our Bible. This scripture revealed who God was to them. It revealed promises to his people. It pointed to a saviour who would one day come. The word or scripture for us includes what we know as the New Testament as well. In the New Testament, we see how all of the Old Testament points to the Lord Jesus. You have testimonies of Christ's life in the Gospels, who he was and what he'd come to do. You have the early story of the church in the book of Acts, and you have letters and writings from the apostles instructing the church and the early believers. And as James writes, he's reminding the believers that the word planted in us grows only as we pay attention to it and obey it. It'll be like a child taught to obey their parents as they grow up, and how essential that is for them to understand that relationship. So James is saying we as God's children need to hear but also obey God's voice through Scripture. I think James highlights two things for us to do with obedience, to do with God's word. Here's the first one. Christian growth is shown in obedience to God's words. Christian growth is shown in obedience to God's word. The Bible, Scripture, God's word should be of central importance to us if we're a Christian, James is saying. Written by human hands, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we trust that the Bible is literally God's word to us. And when we read the Bible, we trust that we're listening to his words. Paul's letter to Timothy reminds us how all Scripture is God-breathed out by God, his words. Now, I trust that if we've been in church for a while or been around church circles, then we already know that to some extent. It's why half of our service is taken up with the reading of and preaching from passages of God's word, Sunday by Sunday. And it's why there's a regular encouragement from the front and in the things that we put out of the need to read God's words, Scripture, during the week. It is that food for us that we need. And yet James is making a very clear point for us. He's saying that if we think that reading or merely hearing God's word is enough in itself, then we are deceiving ourselves. Do you see that word? Verse 22? Deceit. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? To deceive someone is to make them think that something isn't true. And James says, if we think that reading or hearing is enough, then we're deceiving ourselves, because there's another step we need to take. We need to obey it. And James is presuming two things here. He's presuming that believers have already responded to God's words and accepted the message of salvation within it. He's presuming they're Christians, that they've asked Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins. And he's also presuming that these believers are already reading or listening to God's word. He doesn't make any encouragement to go and do that. It seems to be a presumption. We might therefore presume that he's writing to Bible-believing Christians who maybe belong to Bible-believing churches. But James is saying there's a difference between being a Bible believer or reader and being a Bible obeyer. A Bible reader knows what the Bible is and knows it's important, but there's a missing step. Describe for us in verse 23. Look down in your Bibles at verse 23. And James describes a person. And he presents this person as the one who we need to guard ourselves against. Verse 23. Anyone who listens to the words but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, this person has a desire to read and listen, it seems. But the words they read or hear never penetrate further than their ears or their eyes. It never goes into their hearts and is given an opportunity to shape their lives. Now, the whole point of a mirror is to become familiar with who you are, what you look like. Whether it's a quick glance to check that your hair is in place. How many of us did that this morning with a mirror before we went out? I didn't, because I don't need to. Or maybe a longer check to check that that spot that's been developing on our face for the last few days has been thoroughly squeezed out, and it's no longer going to be the problem that we think it's going to be. It is pointless to look at a mirror and then forget what you've just seen. There's a folly in doing that. You might as well not bothered in the first place, James is kind of saying. Well, that's how it is foolish to read God's word, to hear it preached maybe, and for it to make no difference, for us to forget what we've read or what we've heard, not to obey. Just think of the times we might have to read or listen to God's word in any given week. Individual quiet times. Maybe a one-to-one with someone where we read God's words. Growth groups. Children's or youth groups that we might go to and hear something of the gospel or the Bible explained. Family Bible readings, maybe around a meal table or before bed. Maybe we're even involved in leading growth groups or giving Bible talks in some form. And then there's Sunday where we gather and hear God's word read and preached. Now, most of us will do at least two or three of those things every week. Those things are good things, good patterns. Accessing God's word in this way is great and a real privilege. But James is saying those things in and of themselves aren't enough unless we hear and obey. What are some of the obstacles that we might face in hearing God's word and in obeying it? Well, here are a few. Some of these might apply to you personally. Some of them might be just things that you might be used to observing. Maybe we find it difficult to obey because we don't really pay attention. You ever been guilty of that? Kind of turning to God's word or turning up on a Sunday and your heart's not really in it. Not really paying attention. If you were to ask someone to ask you 10 minutes later, having read your Bible or been at church, you couldn't really say what you'd been going on or what you'd heard. Reading our Bible or coming to church is just one of those things we go through the motions with, a bit like you would have a shower in the morning or eat meals during the day. It's just part of a routine that actually, if you asked at the end of the day what we did, it was just something we did. Didn't make much difference. Maybe we're distracted by other things going on around us or in our minds. Who've been guilty of that? Maybe reading our Bible in the morning, but in our heads we're mapping out the rest of the day as we do that same thing. Or maybe sitting in church and our thoughts drifting to that song we thought was played badly. I don't think that's true this morning. Or whether the oven is on. Or what Monday morning at work will bring. Distractions. Or maybe we don't like some of the teachings in Scripture, so we approach the Bible with caution or suspicion. Maybe if we listened and obeyed, we'd have to reconsider some of the things that we have in our lives. It might make us uncomfortable, the things we believe or practice. Maybe we just want God's word to be more exciting. Reading the Bible or listening to that preacher's hard work. I long to be entertained, and reading the Bible or listening to a 25-minute sermon just doesn't do that for me. Maybe it's not the most important voice we listen to in any given week. Here's an interesting stat that I read this week. It is estimated we listen to around 30,000 words every day. 30,000 words every day. News channels, social media, TV programs, conversations with people. That's a lot of voices, isn't it? And within all those voices, maybe God's voice gets drowned out, crowded out. Or maybe we just think that being saved is enough. I've trusted in Jesus. I don't need to read God's word anymore. And I certainly don't need to obey it. Well, whatever the obstacles are for us, look at James's encouragement in verse 25. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law, God's word, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. See, the Bible believer or reader has a desire to read, but forgets, doesn't obey what they've read or heard, makes no difference to their lives. The Bible obeyer has a desire to read because he knows the freedom that comes from living in God's world, in God's way. The Bible obeyer remembers, doesn't forget, continues in, did you see that word? Continues in it, remembering it, recalling it. And we should rightly be concerned if we don't desire to read or listen to God's words. That should be a concern. But we should be just as concerned, according to James, if the reading of or listening to God's words does not result in lives of obedience. What are some of the things that might help us obey, hear and obey? Well, here are a few. Prayer. I've read this book recently. You might have seen it, come across it. Before You Own Your Bible. It takes you through 9 heart postures as you approach God's words. And it's basically making this point. How you approach God's words will often impact what you take from it or what we obey from it. And part of that, the author says, is prayer. He says this, I am convinced that a prayerless approach to God's word is a major reason for the low-level dissatisfaction that hums beneath the surface of our lives. Do we pray before we open our Bibles? Do we pray as a preacher comes up onto the stage? And maybe we're not feeling that we want to hear what he's going to say. Do we pray, Lord, I need to hear your voice this morning. Lord, I need to hear your voice as I open it up on a Tuesday morning on my way into work. Prayer. Note-taking, that's a practical one, isn't it? But there's a link between obedience and remembering. And how do we remember sometimes? Well, some of the times we remember is things that we write down. Some of us do that this morning. Maybe following Bible notes is something that will help us understand God's word and help us obey it, apply it into our lives more regularly. Maybe we need to flavour our conversations more with scripture. Talking about what we've heard or what we've read with someone else, that is often a mechanism that helps us remember and then obey, put things into practice. But at the end of the day, our willingness to obey stems from a heart that longs to listen to our Father. And so the question that we're left with from James is, do we have that desire? Do we have that desire to not only read and listen to, but hear and obey? And if we don't, then amongst all those practical things, maybe the one thing we need to go back to is to fall on our face before God in prayer and to ask for his help that we might start doing that, that we might start hearing and obeying what we hear from God's words. Don't just be a Bible believer or reader, James says. Be an obeyer of God's words. Because it's through that we receive blessing. Did you see that? Right at the end of that verse 25. Through obedience, we receive blessing. Not a kind of material blessing that leads to prosperity, but a blessing through obeying and knowing God as our Father, walking with him. The blessing of being able to live our lives in a way that honours him. That's what comes from obeying God's words. And secondly, this obedience should be visible. We're not going to spend long on this because this is going to be something that James unpacks as he goes through the rest of his letter. But Christian obedience to God's word should be visible. That's where he ends this section, verse 26 and 27. James lists 3 aspects of our life where obedience should make a difference. I wonder if you can spot them. The use of our tongue. At the beginning of verse 26, our actions or attitudes towards the needy or helpless. It's the second area. And then that final area that he closes with, a desire to be distinct in the way we live. Those are things, James says, that if we obey God's word, should be visible outworkings of obedience. Now, these aren't the only areas. where obedience will make a difference. But for James, these three areas seem to be key. And so it's worth very briefly just thinking, why? Why are these three things so key for James? And I think these three things outwork or explained in this way. Tongues reveal what is going on in our hearts. Speech, the words that come from our mouths, reveal what our heart is like. Reveals what it treasures, reveals what it longs for. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this about our hearts and about what comes from our hearts. He said this, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Again, James says that someone who considers himself religious, following Jesus, but is negative in their speech, maybe tries to cut people down the whole time, is careless, they're deceiving themselves. Because it might well point to the fact that their heart isn't for God's, isn't following Christ. Following Jesus, James says, obeying God's word should lead to a changed heart, and a changed heart will often show itself in the words that come from it. Tongues reveal what's going on in our hearts. But obedience to God's word will also show, secondly, in how we treat the needy and helpless around us. It's interesting, James highlights two groups of people, orphans and widows. Why these two? Well, to be an orphan or a widow at the time James was writing was to be helpless, to have no rights, to be entirely in need of someone else treating them with grace and mercy. James is reminding believers as he highlights these two groups, that's exactly who you were. Spiritually speaking, you were helpless, in need of grace, in need of mercy from someone else. So if we understand how God has treated us, an outworking of that understanding and an obedience to God's words will be a desire to do that with others who are needy, others that are helpless. Actions towards others reveal an understanding of the grace towards us. And then finally, this third aspect area that he highlights. An obedience to God's word will lead to distinct lives. Now again, James is going to unpack this further. But it's interesting, here's the aspects that he finishes with. That was the call of God's people in the Old Testament as they came out of Egypt, wasn't it? In Leviticus you have this repeated phrase, "Be holy, for I the Lord am holy." Now that command hasn't changed. In reading God's words, in hearing his voice, we see the things that please God, that bring him glory. The things that are to shape our lives, our attitudes, our choices, our decisions, the things that we long for. Obeying God's words will mean our lives look different from the world around us. Passions, priorities, beliefs, values, behaviours, habits. A life that isn't polluted by the world, James says, but a life lived out for the glory of God in obedience to him. Christian growth is shown in obedience to God's word. So don't just listen, James says, obey. And obedience to God's words should be visibly seen in our lives.